You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
Oh, O'Connell's mistake. McGinn. Green!
Pots isolated. Lonnie goes for goal. And what a goal!
Whitbread with a header. Alexander tries an instinctive volley. Oh, what a goal that is! That is one of the greatest goals you will ever see at Wembley from Gary Alexander to put Millwall level. And just look.
Hello, I'm Ben Turner and welcome back to the EFL Preview Show. This week, joining me to look ahead to the action in the Sky Bet Championship are former Luton and Stoke manager Nathan Jones and former Reading star and current Leyton Orient captain Joby McEnough. Meanwhile, in Sky Bet Leagues 1 and 2, former Rochdale and Tranmere star Joe Thompson looks ahead to our featured games and gives us his reaction to Simon Grayson leaving Blackpool. It might not be crunch time in the Championship yet, but things are definitely getting crunchier as we look ahead to Forest's trip to West Brom, a limping Leeds side's match at home to Bristol City, and informed Preston take on Millwall. In Sky Bet League One, we look ahead to the two managers hoping to pull off a miracle as Gareth Ainsworth's promotion pushing Wickham take on Great Escape hopeful Keith Hills Bolton. And in Sky Bet League Two, it's 4v2nd as Plymouth face David Artell's crew. But first, the Championship, where somehow it's got even tighter at the top.
Hamed holding it up impressively there, but it breaks for the home team. Naby Sarr intervenes. Early ball in, and it's Taylor! 1-0 Charlton! What an excellent goal that is as well!
Looking for a winner here, in towards that near post and off the crossbar! Could have won it there for Fulham and put them second in the Championship tonight.
So let's start with the reaction to some of the midweek games, Nathan, first of all. Fulham missing out on the chance to go up to second after they drew at Millwall. They haven't lost in the league for over a month now. Are they a team, you know, to fear now outside of the top two? Are they the ones that could be the biggest threat?
Look, I wouldn't sort of, the actual now in that sentence means that suddenly they've actually come on to being one of the threats. I mean, they were one of the favourites. They got one of the best squads. They play a certain way. They're attacking style. And over a Championship season, they've been one of the most consistent teams. I watched them last weekend, actually, at Blackburn, and they've had two very, very tough away games. You know, Blackburn away, and they managed to win that in a really tight game. They drew with Millwall. So I know you might want to think, well, they've missed out on the chance, but actually they've taken 4 points on the road. Other teams are losing in and around them. I haven't picked up maximum points, so I think it's a good week for Fulham. I really do.
I know we've talked about Fulham a lot previously, Joby, and, you know, talked about them not clicking into gear maybe previously, but do you think that's changed now? We look at the form after the new year, they seem to have hit the stride a bit.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with them was that spell of winning sort of 3, 4, 5 games on the bounce that they just weren't able to do. Of course, they've dominated large periods of a lot of the games they've played in this year, and just in a few of them, they just couldn't find that, you know, cutting edge, or when they did score one, you know, couldn't keep one out the other side. So I think from their point of view, they've been very, very solid of late, you know, conceding very few goals. I think particularly since, you know, Michael Hector's come in, Kevin McDonald's, for me, given them a nice bit of balance in that midfield area. And, you know, they've had some really, really impressive results recently. And, you know, unbeaten in 6. It's all about momentum at this stage of the season. And, you know, really, from their point of view, they are one of the form teams. And, you know, I'm sure Scott Parker will be hoping he can continue that run now.
Brentford also up there, Nathan. You know, missed the chance, though, drawing against Leeds to go up to second. Thomas Frank was quite bullish in the media before the game, saying that Leeds will fear them. I watched the game, and it's probably fair to say Leeds had the better of the game. Could that performance affect them now, and, you know, after they seemingly seemed slightly overconfident going into the match?
No, I don't think it will. I mean, look, anyone sort of drawing with Leeds predominantly sees it as a positive result. Obviously, with Brentford's home form and the way they've been playing of late, they would have been confident. Leeds don't fear anyone. They would have respected Brentford, but as you saw from the performance, Leeds go after you. They come for you, they go after you, and they keep coming. until the referee blows the whistle. That's the great thing about Leeds. Not many teams do that. So it was probably two of the most attacking, fluent teams in the division going head-to-head. You could pretty much guarantee it wasn't going to be a nil-nil. But I think both teams there will come away and think, that's a pretty decent result. Leeds want to win every game, but going away to Brentford, you have to be respectful. I know I went there with Stoke this year, and we drew, kept a clean sheet, and we saw it as a positive result because of the way Brentford play. So no, look, I think both of those will come away from that thinking that's a decent result. Neither could afford to lose the game, and now they'll be looking for the upcoming games really to get 3 points.
Joby, again, I remember us speaking about Brentford at the start of the season as well, talking about their strategy. You know, January seems to waver from that, though. New players coming in and no significant outgoings. Is that another sign of that confidence that they believe, you know, that they can go up this year?
Yeah, most definitely. I'm sure there are people at the club, you know, in the hierarchy that are looking at this as a fantastic opportunity to finally get Brentford promoted into the Premier League. You know, they've again put a good run of games and results together to really push them up into that, you know, position they're in now, threatening the top two. And I'll be honest, the players they've brought in fits into the Brentford model. You know, young players that have done well at, you know, a lower level. They're giving them the opportunity. The likes of, you know, Tariq Fosu-Henry and Chandon Baptiste have come in. You know, young lads along with Joe Adams. And I think they'll give them an opportunity, and then it's up to them. If they go on and do well, there's always that scope to potentially move them on at a later date. But, you know, I'm sure from their point of view, it's about those boys coming in and giving them a push, you know, a bit of an injection at this important time of the season to help them, you know, cement that place at least in the playoffs and, you know, hopefully push for a top two spot.
And we'll touch on this from a Forest perspective shortly, Joby, but Charlton getting that crucial win at the City Ground as well. Lyle Taylor getting the winning goal. How important was it for them to keep hold of him? And will it be the difference between them, you know, staying up and going down, do you think?
Yeah, I think having a goal scorer, you know, to make the difference, you know, obviously it's a real tight encounter, you know, and obviously he popped up with the winning goal. And I think from that point of view, when there are not a lot of, you know, differences between teams in games and those real tight moments, that's when a goal scorer like him is invaluable. So, you know, I think they haven't had him out as much as they would have liked this year through injury. I think they've really missed him. You know, he's already got 9 goals in 17 games, which is a good return, you know, following on from obviously fantastic form last year. So I think if they can keep him fit, he's certainly someone that can help them, you know, in their quest to survive.
Yeah, crucial player for them, of course. Now time to talk about Forest and their match against West Brom, and what an up and down week it's been for them. So Nathan, a huge statement by, you know, beating Leeds for Forest last weekend. They then go on to lose out at home to Charlton, as we've mentioned. As a squad, how disappointing will that have been for them to miss out on the chance like that to go level on points with Fulham and Leeds?
Yeah, look, I think they'll be disappointed. Out of all the results of midweek, I think they'll be the most disappointed. Firstly, because they probably would have looked at those two games and probably thought, if we can get 4 points out of those two games, it's a massive return. Looking at maybe getting a point at Leeds and beating Charlton and sort of taking advantage of those two home games. After they beat Leeds, I'm sure they would have fancied beating Charlton and gaining the maximum. But that's the Championship. There's no easy games. There's, you know, there's no games where you can, you know, there's real bankers or anything, as you can see. And it's that stage of the season where consistency is everything. Games are coming thick and fast. There's 5-6 games this month, I think, and you'll see some strange results. That, from the outside, you would have said was a strange result, but look, Charlton are capable of doing that, like any Championship side are. So I wouldn't say it was an absolute shock, but they'd be disappointed after beating Leeds to not then back that up in a game that they would have probably expected to win.
Yeah, I mean, Nathan's touched on it there, Joby, but yeah, a run of results like that for Forest, beating a team near the top and losing to a team nearer the bottom, just typical Championship football, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, that is the difficulty of the Championship, you know, especially coming off the back of, you know, such a good result. But it's about being consistent. It's about, you know, making sure your performance levels are, you know, at the highest point at all possible times. And I don't know if it was a little bit of complacency. Again, from the outside, that's a game you would look at and feel Forest should have won. Of course, you know, it's not as simple as that. You know, Charlton have got some good players and they're fighting for their lives. I mean, the way I would look at it, and I'm sure, you know, Sabri Lamouchi would be looking at, is maybe the changes that he made. I know he said three were enforced. And it's difficult, you know, to keep that consistency when you're making an additional two. So five in total, you know, we talk about getting that run together, players getting familiar with each other. And for me, maybe those extra couple of changes were a couple too many and they might have lost their rhythm a little bit. But, you know, again, they're in a really good place. You know, I'm sure they would have taken where they are at the start of the season for the last 14 games or whatever's left. And, you know, it's about going again and, you know, getting themselves ready for the next game now.
Yeah, certainly still well placed. But like we've mentioned, they now face a trip to the Hawthorns. In a way, this could be the perfect game for them, couldn't it, Nathan? You know, because surely they'll be up for a game against the league leaders.
Well, look, the motivation will be there before you go into it, because obviously it's a big game. I'm actually going to the game, so I'm looking forward to it. So I'm sure they will be. But look, it's of two teams in form. West Brom have you know, won three on the spin. They will be looking forward to the game, but I think it's a game that really suits Forest. You know, the onus will be on West Brom to win it. The way Forest play, they can sit in, look for a counter attack in terms of certain things that they do. You know, people like Joe Lolley, with the pace he has, Lewis Graben, that tends to suit them. So I think it's a game that actually suits them.
Yeah, focusing on West Brom now, though, Joby. Three wins on the spin for them and clear at the top. Is their blip that we saw earlier in the season now over? And can you see anyone stopping them on their way to automatic promotion?
Yeah, you certainly have to say they're over their blip. Obviously, a long spell for them, you know, of not winning games, which, you know, is hard to come out of sometimes. You know, as much as winning is a habit, you know, losing can become a habit very, very quickly, and the confidence can drain out of players that seemingly a few weeks ago were on top of the world. So I think it'd be really important. You know, I'm sure Slaven Bilic would be delighted with the response to that and the fact they've seemed to have snapped that run now with three wins on the bounce. You know, particularly with the results, how they've gone this week, they've managed to put a little bit of distance, you know, between them and the chasing pack, and it's a little bit of breathing space. You know, it's just, you know, been really, really tight all season, and I think for them now, you know, with that little cushion, it will give them massive confidence for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, it could really be the difference. West Brom did a lot of business in January as well, of course, Nathan. How important will that have been for them as well to freshen up the squad? Obviously, you know, getting Kamal Grzycki in on deadline day as well.
I think that's been vital. I think they're very, very good signs anyway. But two, it'll give everyone a lift. It always does when you add real quality in the window. Gives everyone a lift. Those who maybe had a dip in form will have a resurgence really, and a bit more competition. And then obviously the what is given to the team, obviously, because with the wide players that they have, and I think Diangana's picked up the odd injury now and again, Pereira is exactly the same, and if they lose any kind of form, then to bring in people like Callum Robinson, to bring in Kamil Grzycki, shows that they have real strength and depth, and they won't be weakened, which will be vital for the run-in, because the games will come, as we said, thick and fast. People will get injured, people will pick up suspensions, people will lose a little bit of form, and it's always important to have that real impact off the bench. And when you look at the bench, you know, they have real strength in depth to bring on and to change games.
Yeah, we'll get on to that now, Joby. You know, Mateus Pereira scoring in midweek and, you know, now back in the fold after overcoming an injury. They've got Grady Diangana to still come back as well into the side. You know, such strength in depth, as Nathan says, in attacking positions. But could that potentially be a problem for them as well, having all that quality to, you know, to keep them all happy?
In a word, no, not for me. I think, you know, for any team that wants to be successful, you know, that wants to get promoted, you need to have that strength in depth. You know, they've got a real massive, massive opportunity, you know, and that's something that doesn't come around a lot in people's careers, you know, a chance to win a league, to get promoted. And I'm sure all those boys, particularly the ones that have come in recently, will have understood the situation they were coming into, and they want to play a part in that success. And, you know, for me, particularly as a forward line, you know, they're as good as anyone in the league. And, you know, you've got the likes of Charlie Austin, who didn't even start the other day. You know, so many options. And I think Nathan made a key point. They don't lose anything, you know, in terms of when they make those just changes, whether it's resting, whether it's injury. You know, the quality throughout that squad is amazing, really. And I think that will really help to get them the results they need. You know, for me, it's certainly a squad that is, you know, up there with the best in the league, and I fully expect them to go on and get promoted there.
Yeah, I was playing devil's advocate a bit there, but now on to two other teams who are in promotion contention, as Bristol City face a trip up to a limping Leeds United at the minute. Starting with the home side, we talked earlier about that midweek game at Brentford. How important a result could that be for them, though, to prove that they are still, you know, they are still obviously competing in these games that they might, you know, from looking at the outset, struggling?
Yeah, look, but one thing I think we've said it before, one thing you have to realise about Leeds United, when teams go to Leeds United, a lot of them change. They're probably the only side in the league that a lot of teams change to combat Leeds. So it's very, you know, the onus is always on Leeds to win the game. Now, it's a big game, you know, Bristol City, but it's a very, very tough place to go. The game in midweek will definitely stand them in good stead because, of course, they're competing. If you have a look at them and you have a look at the stats, they're a top side. They're the ones that make the running in the majority of games. More possession, more chances. They concede less chances. It's just the way they play. They're always liable to get countered on, and teams can nick a goal against them. But they're the ones that keep coming. They're the ones that are always on the front foot. So they definitely compete in these games, in all games. And to be honest with you, they're the ones that usually take the initiative and the onus to the opposition. And that, over a 46-game period, is very, very difficult to keep maintaining. So they're going to have blips. The importance is they believe in the structure, they believe in what they do, they work hard, and they will get enough results, in my opinion.
And like we said, got that point in midweek. But do you think Marcelo Bielsa has a point to prove, Joby, after that? Obviously, he got some criticism after that Forest game about his approach in the media this week. He's had, you know, people questioning that high intensity approach that he adopts.
I'll be honest, I don't think anything that anyone in the media says or asks is going to really overly concern Marcelo Bielsa. I think he's very firm in his philosophy, the way he wants to do things. And I don't think he'd ever waver from that, you know. And I think that's important for a player to understand what the manager wants from you. I think that'll be crystal clear to any of those Leeds players. And I think from his point of view, it'll be, we either succeed or we fail, but we do it this way because he believes in it. And again, I think having that clarity is something that, from my point of view as a player, is something I've always wanted, and I'm sure those players are exactly the same.
Yeah, Nathan, though, there is a lot of pressure on Bielsa, though, to drop the goalkeeper Kiko Casilla after he made another error in midweek, which led to Brentford's first goal, of course. You faced a similar situation with Jack Butland earlier in the season when he was making mistakes. What should Bielsa's approach be in this situation?
Firstly, I'd agree 100% with Joby in terms of what he's saying. No outside influences will affect Bielsa's thinking. He has a way of doing stuff. And if he thinks that keeping Kiko Casilla in the team is the right thing to do, he'll have absolutely no qualms about doing it. Look, my situation was different. We had a top goalkeeper in Jack Butland, and that was making uncharacteristic errors and numerous of them. So in the end, we sort of took him out for his own good, really, in terms of, not for his own good, because he couldn't handle the pressure, but so that maybe it would freshen him up, maybe he wouldn't be thinking about stuff, so to maybe change his mentality slightly and then bring him back in. Whatever, Marcello's far more experienced than I am. He will have, you know, his own idea of what to do, and he won't veer from that. Look, we were very blessed as well. We had three very, very good championship keepers at Stoke, so it was difficult when one was making lots of errors to justify the other two about competition. I don't know if Bielsa has that strength in depth, and he trusts Kiko Casilla. And look, they don't concede many goals, so even though now he's made a few errors, they would get highlighted. But he's, you know, he must be a top keeper.
Mm, yeah, I think he's the club's highest earner, so a difficult one to drop in that sense as well. But Joby, it's been a similar sort of week for Bristol City, coming on to them now, after that defeat at home to Birmingham last Friday night. They hung on for that win against Derby in midweek. A win would put them level on points with Leeds, Should we start talking about them as potential automatic promotion candidates now?
I think Bristol, from their point of view, will be really, really focusing on initially getting back in those playoff places. Obviously, they're only off it on goal difference, but really cementing their position in there. At the end of the day, they're only 3 points away from the automatic places, and obviously a win will take them level on points, as you say. So, of course, there's a massive opportunity, as there is with every other team, you know, really probably down to Cardiff, I would say, in terms of really mounting a serious challenge if they can put a good run together. Again, as we've mentioned previously, it's about that consistency and, you know, doing it game after game, which for Bristol has been a slight issue this year. And, you know, for me, I'd have them as an outsider to get one of those automatic spots at the moment.
Yeah, a dark horse, certainly. But we saw them looking at the tactics, Nathan. We saw them change it to a 4-4-2 against Derby as well in midweek. Naki Wells getting his first goal in his first start for the club. Should they stick with that approach at Elland Road, or do they have to change it up and try and do a Wigan maybe and sit back and frustrate Leeds?
Look, I whatever you do when you go to Leeds, one thing you have to do is either be extremely lucky or defend well. So whichever formation or whatever tactics they approach, you know, you have to defend well, you have to work hard and nullify Leeds' threat. I do believe you'll get opportunities when you go to Leeds, because you do, because of how they play. They're very brave. I wouldn't say they much take chances, but their structure is brave and bold and front-footed. So if you can combat that and then use certain strengths, whether it's a counter-attack or whether it's pace or whether it's individual skill, you know, you'll get opportunities. But whatever they do, you know, you've got to play well to get a result at Elland Road. And if they get in front, they're very difficult to peg back with the crowd and with everything. And look, they're a top side. So I can't second guess what Lee's going to do. But one thing is for sure, you can't be half cocked when you go to Elland Road. You have to be at it.
And Wells obviously scored that controversial goal that shouldn't have, you know, should have been ruled out against Leeds for QPR earlier in the season, Joby. He's obviously going to get a hostile reception, you feel, at Leeds for his time at Bradford and Huddersfield as well as a player. How would you deal with that in that situation as a player going to a ground like that, knowing that you're probably going to be getting a little bit of stick?
I actually really enjoyed it, man. It's, for me, a situation that you can go and, you know, you don't let it affect you in a negative way, but you can certainly use it to fire you up and give you motivation. Of course, from his point of view, he'd be desperate to score and maybe silence a few of the boos or the noise around him. So I'm sure he won't be fazed. I'm sure it's not the first time it's happened. And again, from a playing perspective, it's something that, you know, I certainly enjoyed, and I'm sure he will revel in it himself.
Out of interest, Joby, who gave you the most stick?
Pretty much everyone that I left, to be fair. Watford fans give me a bit. Cardiff fans give me a bit. I did score against most of my old teams, so that didn't help either, I suppose.
But did you celebrate?
I was always respectful. I think I scored against Cardiff 1 year for Watford after getting hammered the whole game, and it was a last-minute equaliser.
Can't help but celebrate.
No, listen, man, I think when you're at a club, you obviously do your best for them. You move on for different reasons. You know, sometimes the fans are not privy to everything. But I think as long as you show respect, you know, for the time that you had at that club, I don't really see a problem with it, you know. I think it's different if maybe you scored a goal that had a real negative impact on a club, you know, relegation situation, something like that, or stopping them potentially, you know, improving. But again, as I say, as long as you're respectful, I don't see a problem with it.
Well, Naki Wells certainly will be celebrating if he scores this weekend, that's for sure. Now moving on to another team who could be in the automatic promotion mix, in Preston, as they take on Millwall. Nathan, should Alex Neil's side now realistically have that ambition, you know, to be a team who could finish in the top two?
Look, they probably will have the ambition. It'd be very difficult for them, I think, with the other teams in and around them. Because the other teams around them, and I'm not being disrespectful in any way, have a few more marquee players who can sort of change a game. What Alex has done there is gather a team, recruit a team that play for each other because they are a team. You know, you look through their squad, where they've recruited them from. There's a lot of lower league players there. Some, like Ben Davis, have come through Preston. But they know what they're doing. They're a team that's well drilled. They know what they're doing. And they do have quality. It's just not obvious quality. It's not high money ex-Premier League quality. You know, they just have a wonderful, wonderful system. I love the boy Pearson there. Alan Brown do really well. Daniel Johnson, very, you know, fluid in midfield, but know what they're doing, work hard. They took the boy Barhausen from Morecambe, which, you know, was an absolute steal. But that's the type of recruitment they do. You know, Andy Hughes from Peterborough. It's wonderful recruitment that they've done, and they don't, you know, I would imagine that the team spirit there, the hunger to get up would be the driving force there, not a team full of stars, you know. And I really like them, and I really hope that they do somehow get up. But my sort of prediction and for what it's worth would be that their best chance is up through the playoffs because of the pedigree of the other teams around them.
Could that be an advantage to them though, Nathan, do you think? Obviously a lot of pressure on, you know, teams like Leeds, teams like West Brom, from the support, you know, supporters, etc., and from, you know, the owners to get promotion. But Preston, you know, like you say, a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, they are. And look, I think that their strength is collectively, no individuals, but collectively. And that is, so yeah, they will count themselves as underdogs, I'm sure. And again, without being disrespectful, and they will go into those big games. But I think there's a belief there, you know. You saw from the midweek a victory at Stoke, very tight game, even game, but, you know, they stuck at it, they kept the clean sheet and were comfortable winners in the end, because once they got the second goal, you know, very difficult to come back from that. I got to be honest, I've been an admirer of those since I went into the Championship. They sort of beat us in my first year 2-0, and they were the same sort of methodical, hard-working side that knew what they're doing, and that's a credit to the manager.
And Joby, they seem to have sorted out their away form as well recently, beating Stoke in midweek and Wigan last weekend. How crucial will that be for them if they are going to challenge?
Yeah, of course. I think winning games home or away, you know, it's not always an easy thing to do in a Championship, but they seem to have found a way of getting those results away from home, albeit, you know, against teams at the wrong half of the table, you know, obviously beating Stoke, Wigan. They also won at Barnsley as well. So I think for me, the real test for them is going to be, you know, those games against the teams that are in and around them. I think that will show everybody exactly where they are in terms of whether they can fight for a place higher up the table, or whether it is going to be a matter of potentially settling for a place in the playoffs. You know, we've got some real tough games to come. I think obviously this one's going to be difficult as well. You know, we know how hard it is playing against Millwall. So, yeah, I think that they're in with a great shout. But for me, the tougher tests are going to come, and we'll see how they get on with us.
You mentioned, Nathan, obviously the you know, the lack of so-called superstars at the club. They don't seem to have a striker who can typically score more than 20 goals a season as well. Could that be a problem for them as well going forward, and might be something that holds them back a bit?
Look, it doesn't seem to be holding them back, so I don't think so. They would probably like someone to do that, but what they have is a real strength, a collective strength. They all chip in with goals, centre-halves chip in with goals, midfield players chip in with goals. You know, they're very, very good from set plays. So they're very methodical in what they do. And as I said, they're not reliant. Their structure is better than any individual. So they're not reliant on just a 20-goal striker. So if he doesn't score, where's their goals coming from? You know, they chip in. It's a very, very good system they have. They don't veer from it too much. They tweak. They're very pragmatic in certain things that they do. They do the basics very well. And to be fair, they have got good players that are very, very good Championship players. I think their structure is what gets them that. So at the minute, they're not missing a 20-goal a man. But maybe as games get tighter, especially against the top sides, someone that can nick something out of nothing, maybe they will rue that, but at the minute they don't seem to be.
Sometimes it can certainly make the difference, of course. Millwall haven't won in their last four, though, Joby, but they've had obviously a tough run of games, and they, you know, themselves are a tough team to beat, as Fulham found out obviously midweek. Are they still a team who could fight for a playoff place, do you think?
Yeah, I think they're certainly a team that's been in very, very good form. Obviously, Gary Rowett's been in there and done an absolutely fantastic job to turn things around. You know, in terms of their points return since he's been there, it's you know, right up there with any of the other teams. And you know, they're in a good place in terms of, I think, for the squad. I think they've done a great job to even give themselves a chance of potentially, you know, trying to get into that playoff mix, although I think it will be a step too far for them. You know, in terms of their recent form, you know, they've come up against, you know, three of the top teams in Fulham, West Brom and Leeds. And I think once you come out of that, you know, it obviously doesn't get much easier with this game against Preston. But, you know, I think they'll be fairly pleased with what they've done so far. You know, I watched the game last night, and the first half in particular, they were very, very good. They were very bold with their approach to the game. And they really took the fight to Fulham. So, you know, it'll be a difficult afternoon. You know, I'm sure they'll fancy themselves in terms of going up there and getting something. Although they haven't won for a little while, they're still playing okay, or they certainly did last night. And I'm sure that the manager will hope they can take that form into the game.
Now on to Skybet League 1 and 2 with former Tranmere and Rochdale star Joe Thompson, and talk of another managerial casualty.
He's delivered it, and there's the winner. Brandon Hanlon, 5 minutes into stoppage time, and Gillingham are back in the lead again, and they've surely now snatched all 3 points.
So Joe, before we get into previewing the games, we have to start with the news of Simon Grayson's sacking at Blackpool. We talked about Stuart McCall last week and going back to Bradford, but how sad is it when a manager who seems to fit the bill and is well-liked loses his job?
It's a tough one, isn't it? You know, the start of the season, they were doing quite well. And Simon Grayson, he's done very well, particularly with Preston. Over the years, and like you say, for such a well-liked manager, it's a tough one, but I'm sure he'll take a little bit of time to reflect, and there'll be a host of clubs wanting him probably in the summer now. So, you know, the players will have missed him as well, but it's football, you know. It's a tough one.
And of course, did so well in his first stint at Blackpool, earning them promotion from League One, you know, over 10 years ago now. Blackburn legend, David Dunn, now in interim charge. How much of an opportunity is it for him now as well to make his mark in management?
I spoke to David just prior to, he was doing some work at Blackburn with the younger ones. I'm sure he'll be relishing it, you know. Talk about players that fit the bill and roll into management in a way in coaching. He loves football, you know. He was an unbelievable player, so I'm sure he'll see it as a great opportunity. It's a tough one because I bet you after, well, the last minute defeat to Gillingham, the lads would have been flat, so he will have had to go in there and really try and energise them and get them going. But I'm sure he'll be relishing the opportunity.
This season seemingly is a bit of a write-off for them now as well. You know, no fear of relegation or expectation of promotion looking at where they are. How much is this an opportunity for, you know, any new manager to come in and really build something here?
It's a good opportunity, you know. It's just how long he's kind of given time to put his stamp on things. But, you know, you've seen it with football, a couple of wins back to back, and your name's fully in the hat. So I'm sure as a club, they'll be looking for other options as well. But for him, it's a wonderful opportunity.
Yeah, like you say, a great opportunity. Now, let's move on to our selected game in Skybet League One, which is Wickham against your favourite former manager, Keith Hill at Bolton, starting with the visitors, 12 points from safety, but two games in hand. Is there any way that, you know, Keith Hill could pull off another miracle?
It's a tough one. For me, as I'm looking at it there, and statistics, and I know they're not kind of mathematically relegated, but the writing's kind of on the wall. But I think for Keith in particular, he'll want to make sure that they do see it all the way to the end, you know, and make sure they're doing it in a way they're showing that fighting spirit, and that character and that bravery, because difficult, you know, with the financial issues that they've had, and where they found themselves at the start of the season, it was always going to be a massive ask.
Could anyone have kept Bolton up in that situation, do you think?
I don't think so. And I think I'm quite an honest person. And if I was to look at that from, you know, a fan's perspective, an owner's perspective, was it minus 15 when he started? Minus 12, minus 15? That's a massive, massive mountain to climb. So I think for them and as a club, it's about maybe rebuilding in the summer and taking stock. And I think from a player's perspective, you've got to look at it. It's a massive club. And I know a lot of those players are on 12-month contracts. So we come into the end of the season and they'll want to make sure from their kind of personal point of view that they are playing well. Because, you know, tricky and difficult decisions need to be made at the end of the season.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of incentive, though, like you say, for those players. But speaking of miracles, what a miracle it would be if Gareth Ainsworth was to guide Wickham to promotion. They've been up and down recently, though. Are they still in with a shout, do you think, of getting in that top two?
They are. You've got to look at Gareth Ainsworth as a player. You know, had an unbelievable career, unbelievable professional. And he's been there for, I think, his 8 years now. So he's rode it through the good times and the bad. And it's quite nice to see a club like Wickham stick with the manager, you know, relegations, promotions. He knows that club inside out, so I don't think there's anybody better to potentially get him promoted. And like you say, it would be a miracle, a fairy tale, if he was to do that. And they sat in fourth, so there's everything to play for.
And the EFL's longest serving manager, of course, but he doesn't have the biggest of squads, and you know there are a lot of big teams around them who are going for promotion. What's it like when you are, you know, when you are playing for one of those perceived smaller sides, and you know you're punching above your weight?
Yeah, I think it's always difficult because you know the games come thick and fast, and it's relentless, and you do see some teams kind of run out of steam near like March, April time, but I think it's the old heads, the likes of Akinfenwa and Matty Bloomfield have been chipping in with goals recently. You want that experience to try and guide the squad and the younger ones through the games and that kind of managing certain moments in games. And I think they're going to be really important leading into the kind of back end of the season.
Yeah, I spoke to Gareth Ainsworth earlier this year and he highlighted the importance of the likes of Matt Bloomfield and Akinfenwa, like you just mentioned. Well, Bolton themselves have just won one of their last 10 league games, so a tough ask for them, rather, you feel.
Skybet League 2.
Now on to a huge match in Skybet League 2, is 4th place Plymouth taking on 2nd place Crewe. So a tight, so tight, rather, in that top four in League 2 at the minute. Plymouth had that heavy defeat at Colchester last week. When you're going for promotion, can a defeat like that sometimes be a bit of a wake-up call, sort of like we saw in midweek?
Definitely. I listened to Ryan after the game. I think he called it a reality check. And that's probably what happened. You know, they responded to it really well on Tuesday night against Salford. But yeah, that reality check. And sometimes you need it. You'd rather it come now, when you've still got games to spare and you can do something about it. So he'll be looking for him to bounce back and continue, because up until then they was in fine form.
And like we said, they had that dramatic late win at Salford the other night, scoring in, you know, the very last minute of the match. How much can that help you as a squad as well when you get that euphoria of a victory like that, especially away from home as well?
It is, and you know, that, like you say, last minute, that journey on the way home is so much better when you come away with 3 points. The team would have really been energised and galvanised after getting beat so convincingly against Colchester. And, you know, you look at Ryan Lowe as a manager, what he's done there is it's been terrific, you know. Dealt with the Bury situation really well, I thought, and getting them promoted through all that pressure and all that financial issues. But he stuck with what he knows. He took a lot of those players down with him. And I think this weekend, Byron Moore, I know Byron was at Crewe, and he's a very good footballer, a match winner at times. So he'll be looking for your likes of Danny Mayer and Byron Moore to come to the table in a way and start picking the points up as soon as possible.
And for Crewe themselves, obviously, in incredible form. So many players who've come through their academy as well in their squad. Is there a sense of no fear in that team when you've got, you know, so many good players coming through?
Listen, the Crewe model system is... it's credit to them, what they've done over, I'd say, probably the last 20, 25 years, bringing so many players through. It's what they know. It's their bread and butter. And they've got Chris Porter leading the line, still scoring goals at 36. And again, it's having those older heads to steer the younger ones kind of through the season. That is imperative, but they've done amazing. And that's credit to the younger ones as well. You know, because it is tough and they're learning as the season goes on. But like you say, the momentum and the results that they've been picking up have been phenomenal.
Yeah, sitting well in second at the minute as well. Joe, thanks again for your time and have a great weekend.
No, my pleasure. You too.
Well, thanks again to all my guests on today's show. Remember to like and subscribe and leave a review if you can, and help other people find the show. See you again next week.